This morning for the sermon, I'd like to speak about a topic that is apropos for today. We have graduation, our school program. I'd like to speak about Catholic education. And to begin with, I would like to say that we truly invest in Catholic education. And why? Because children are the future of the church. And how important it is that we educate them in their Catholic faith. We instill in them a love for God and a love for their faith, because that's something they're going to carry with them, hopefully, the rest of their life. When it comes to Catholic education, there's two aspects. And the most important is this, that we teach our children to be spiritually mature. You parents, you have the obligation to instill in your children the Catholic faith. Not only is God gave you these children, blessed with these children, that you might prepare them for life, get some skills and learning things so they can make it in life, but more importantly, your responsibility is to get them to heaven. And spiritual maturity, I would define as that realization of what life is all about and being serious about obtaining that. Important, most important thing, saving our soul. As Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world, but he suffers the loss of his soul? We were speaking to our seminarians about spiritual maturity. And spiritual maturity is not a matter of age. You can be 100 years old, but not be spiritually mature. Someone who is spiritually mature is serious about getting to heaven, saving their soul. I was just thinking about Our Lady of Fatima when she appeared to Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia. In July, she waved her hand and showed the children a vision of hell. Those children, when they saw souls in hell, they became very spiritually mature. They realized the seriousness of life. Life is no game, no joke. Obviously, we can have our fun and enjoy life, but not at the expense of losing our soul. I remember when I was in second grade, Sister Mary Grace was our first communion teacher, and she talked about hell. And I tell you, I went home that afternoon, and at nighttime when I knelt down and prayed my night prayer, I was like, Lord, I do not want to go to hell. Now sometimes people might say, oh, that's a terrible thing. You don't want to scare the kids now. Our divine Savior, Jesus Christ, who is meek and humble of heart, he spoke of hell 15 times. So we want to tell children, God is a good and loving Father. He's going to reward us with heaven. But if we live a sinful life, there's this place called hell. Spiritual maturity, the seriousness about saving our soul. And secondly, we also have the important idea of the Catholic faith of knowing our faith, being able to defend our faith. Not just the church teaches this, or the bishop said that, or Father so-and-so, or Sister so-and-so said that, but being able to defend it and know why we believe these things, and proving it to others. That's the reason why over all these years, we invest a lot in the school, especially in theology and in religion. I want our students to know why they're Catholics, to be able to prove the existence of God from the beautiful, intelligent design we see in the world. I want them to be able to prove that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. We can prove here in this late hour of 2025 that Christ, the miracles he worked, truly were done. And proved the public miracles he worked and the prophecies fulfilled, that our Lord founded one church, and that church is the Catholic Church. How important it is that we instill in our children this faith, because if they don't, they're going to wander throughout life and probably go down a wrong path. That's one of the reasons why we like to teach apologetics, the defense of our faith. Now, just very briefly, I wanted to share with you, we put out in the back by the bulletin This is a cheat sheet. How many of you can't remember quotes from Scripture? Probably all of you. I can't remember those things. Well, this is at your fingertips. It has very quick references to sacred Scripture, points about our Catholic faith, the Mass, the seven sacraments, purgatory, the idea that we have to do good works to get to heaven, not just say, Lord, Lord. It's not just by faith, but faith and good works. Talks about the Blessed Virgin, devotion to Our Lady. All of the things that we believe as Catholics at your fingertips on these front and back, these quotes here. Give a donation. They're in the back. We also have this other book that I'd like to highly recommend. You know, if you give somebody a big book, they're probably not going to read it. But this is a very concise book. The priest has combined sacred Scripture, the Word of God, plus the writings of the early Christians. Now, why are the writings of the early Christians important? Because it shows the faith of the early Christians. They believed in the Mass, the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, the seven sacraments. They believed in the papacy. They believed in purgatory. They honored the Blessed Virgin Mary. They prayed for the intercession of the saints. Very concisely, this little book has Scripture and the early writings of the fathers of the church, and also history. History is a matter of fact, what happened. So at first Mass, I wasn't sure what he was going for, but Sister said, we're not out to make money, we're out to spread the faith, but it took about $10 to put this together. This is a very, very good book. They're in the back. And for those of you who don't speak English very well, Catechismo de la Doctrina Cristiana. We have a catechism in Spanish as well. But it's important, parents, your children grow up very, very quickly, instill the faith in them. Otherwise, if they go on and try to make it in life, someone's going to railroad them, someone's going to steamroll them, and they're going to lose their faith. Now, I'd like to just say with regard to Mater Dei Academy, I'm very happy. This was our 37th year of starting the school. When we began it in the rectory in the basement with just maybe almost two handfuls of kids, not more than 10 kids. Grace Torkson was not married yet. Grace Detica, she began teaching, and it was a struggle getting teachers and keeping things going, but very rapidly things grew from the basement. We had gotten the house, what was the seminary in the parking lot, and we expanded, we made the classroom, we made the garage a classroom. And then as we expanded, we built a church here in 91, and we would be able to use the basement. Then that got too small, and God in His providence, we were able to get the property right behind us here, and those garages were made into classrooms. So 37 years of Mater Dei Academy. You have to remind yourself, some of our priests went to Mater Dei Academy. Father Borja went to Mater Dei Academy. Father Gecko went to Mater Dei Academy. Father Sanquist went to Mater Dei Academy. Father Philip went to Mater Dei Academy. A lot of our sisters went to Mater Dei Academy. And, like I say, we invest in Catholic education. Why? Because your children are the future of the Church. Another thing that's interesting, after September 11th and the situation we had in our country, we were not able to take foreign students for our seminary. So we had to qualify and had to go through what's called the CVIS program. A lot of red tape and a lot of documentation and you know, visits to the school by the FBI and such, make sure that we're a bona fide, a real true school. But we expanded that, not just for the seminary, but for the convent, for our grade school and high school. So over the years, it's been pretty neat. We've had kids from South America, Central America. We've had kids from Europe come to school here, from the Philippines. It kind of adds a nice flavor to the school when kids can see kids from other countries. Very, very nice. But I say this, that our children grow up very, very quickly. And how important it is, parents, that you instill in them the Catholic faith. Not only by word, but more importantly by example. That's why I'm very grateful for my Catholic parents. Every Saturday, as a family, we went to confession. We would visit the cemetery often to pray for our relatives. As a family, we went to Sunday Mass, prayed the rosary together. If there was something extra going on, like novenas or Stations of the Cross, we were there. And that's something that, when you do as a habit, as a practice, something that stays with you. And these are things that you can implant in your children's heart and soul, a love for the faith. You also, parents, have to remember, too, that Satan would like nothing more than to destroy your children. And how important, how critical it is that you are vigilant. You're vigilant about what your children read, what they hear, what they watch, places they go. Especially this coming summer, you know that there's so much immodesty that we should avoid occasions of sin. Your children are very precious. Our Lord said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." The apostles, when our Lord was preaching, these women brought their children to be blessed, and the apostles were like, "God, get these kids away. Not the right time." Jesus said to them, "No, have them come." Our Lord loves children. How innocent these children are, and how formable they are as well. We remember our divine Savior, his love for children, and he told all of us, unless we be converted and become like little children, simple in our relationship with God, we won't enter the kingdom of heaven. So as we finish our 37th year of Mater Dei Academy, we're very grateful to God for his blessings. When we needed to expand, the expansion came. But not only do we have Mater Dei Academy, the sisters here, the Sisters of the Congregation Mother of God, we have 13 schools. 13 schools. We have some, in quite a few places, there's just two sisters, and they're teaching a multitude of classes. The wonderful thing is this, as we have more vocations coming up the ranks, there'll be three, there'll be four, and then more sisters. I have to laugh at when we began our school out in Burlington, Colorado, that school started very, very small about 23 years ago. We had Sister Agnes and Sister Josepha there. And now they are the second biggest school in Kit Carson County. We built a school out there. And I'll never forget, we had a little parish meeting, and Bill Horning, God rest his soul, he said, if we don't invest in Catholic education, this parish is not going to have a future. And he said, I'm going to put down money, we're going to build a school, and we're going to make this happen. Now, many of them are wheat farmers and ranchers, so they swapped some property for right next to the church, half a block down. There was an empty lot, and they knew the owner, and he was also involved with agriculture. They said, we'll swap you this property for that lot in this town. And they built a school. And you know what's the neat thing? This school is big, and it's too small. I like that. I like when schools get small, because it shows that things are going very well. We'll have there, this coming year, 9 sisters there. We have a nice school in Phoenix. We have actually 3 in Colorado, Denver, and also Colorado Springs. We have 2 in Minnesota, 1 in Wisconsin, 1 in Florida, 1 in Alabama, 1 in Arkansas, 1 in Canada, We also have one. So I wanted to share with you the importance of Catholic education. I know for myself, if it weren't for those sisters, Sister Mary Grace and Sister Juliana, I wouldn't be who I am today. They were tough, they were kind, they were a wonderful example, and they made you achieve. And they instill the Catholic faith in us. So we can't underestimate Catholic education. And you parents, remember, that's your obligation. Number one, get your children to heaven. And yes, you need to teach them reading, writing, arithmetic, and all that other stuff so you make it in life. But the most important thing you do is teach them how to get to heaven. Teach them their Catholic faith. So once again, I just wanted to share with you, we have this little cheat sheet. If you're not good with quotes from Scripture, right here. And now I can tell you this. When I was in school, I had a hard time memorizing things. I wasn't the best memorizer. When I see these kids get up and sometimes the school programs and recite these long poems from heart, I'm like, that wasn't me. But after a while, they get good at it. And that's the reason why I travel a lot. I enjoy talking and sharing the faith with others. I was coming back from a long trip. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. We're just landing in Omaha. It's a late flight. And I was praying my breviary. Everybody else was sleeping. I got a light on and praying my breviary on the plane. And right as soon as we landed, one guy came up to me and said, what version of the Bible is that? I says, the Vulgate. It's in Latin. I mean, guy had no clue what I was talking about. But that's okay. So I said, I pray these prayers in Latin and gave him a quick explanation about the universality of the church. He said, what do you think about Romans? I said, I like Romans. And I knew exactly where he was going. But I said, you've got to not just take that one quote from Romans, but you also have to look at Matthew chapter 7. You also have to look at this other thing over here, Philippians, and this, this, and this, and this. By the time we got to get our luggage, he was like, let me get away from this guy. Because I was trying to tell him, it's not just by faith. Yes, we have to have faith and believe in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But we have to also do good works. Not those who say, Lord, Lord, but those who do the will of my Father. If you want to enter to life, keep the commandments. And that's not what he wanted to hear. Just believe on Jesus and you're saved. But one last thing I'd like to share with you is this. At our school, I want our kids to know why they're going to the Latin Mass. Why we are what we call traditional Catholics. And I like to show them the facts. Pictures, videos, the facts about what happened in the Catholic Church 60 years ago. 60 years ago this year, in 1965, the radical alteration of the faith at Vatican Council II. Like to mention cardinals' names and bishops' names who did not go along with the changes, who rejected them and says, this is not Catholic. The very bishop that I get my apostolic succession from, Archbishop Took, he publicly lamented. At Vatican Council II, many of the bishops, close to 400, wanted to condemn communism. They were told it's not going to happen. Why? Because the infiltrators within the church already made an agreement with Moscow. Communism was not going to be condemned. There was another archbishop who was on the preparatory council to prepare the documents and what they were going to talk about, discuss at Vatican II. He gets there and he said, nah, this is scrapped. I'm not talking about this. We've got a new agenda. These are the new things we're going to be talking about. And that's how they railroaded things through, because the church had already been infiltrated from within. I want our children to know, why do you go to Latin Mass? Why do we reject the errors of Vatican Council II? Why we are who we are? We're Roman Catholics who did not go along with the changes, because the changes were condemned by popes and councils in the past. I want our children to know that, because in this day and age, they can get pulled in so many different directions. I want them not only to tell them this, I want them to be able to prove it, and that, want them to be able to demonstrate and prove it themselves. So we're very grateful to God for our school and how our Blessed Mother has interceded for us, Mary, the Mother of God, Mater Dei, Mother of God, patroness of our school. And we just like to congratulate once again our graduates this year. And also, I want to just encourage you families, you parents, educate your children in the Catholic faith. Give them a love for the faith, by word, and especially by example. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.